Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back, folks. So we just heard from Governor Landry, Christopher Wray, the deputy director of the FBI counterterrorism unit, as well as a special agent in charge, Joshua Jackson, ATF, and Mayor Cantrell. Some pieces of information obviously have changed. They put things in a lot more context. I don't know about you, but the way that this presser was conducted as opposed to yesterday, this was, I thought, a lot more meaningful and direct and professional in its approach and getting the message across as to where we actually stand and why. And this, too, may change. So this is still a very fluid situation, a lot of resources being brought to bear, a lot of information being delved through and dealt with. And I think we'll even learn more in the early evening hours today, going into tomorrow. Joining us on the line is Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser, who has been out in California for the Rose Bowl parade that occurred yesterday. Billy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Nu.
Billy, things changed quickly yesterday morning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, to sum it up, when they stepped out the Rose Parade headquarters, 6 a.m. yesterday morning, they did a moment of silent prayer for the victims and their families, and then they went on to announce Louisiana won an award for our float again. And the Louisianans that are out here, it's kind of hard to enjoy anything when you're dealing with such tragedy back home. We want to continue to pray for those that lost loved ones and the ones recovering in the hospital.
What was the reaction from, the Californians and others that were out there at the Rose Bowl parade?
Well, they love New Orleans. A lot of them visit many times, and it's going to be something we're going to have to overcome. Is it safe to go there? The same things you're hearing all over. This is a terrorist that was going to hellbent on causing a lot of destruction and death, no matter where he was or what he did. So it just so happened he picked New Orleans to do this horrible thing.
Any reflection or self-reflection, being out there at the Rose Bowl parade, a lot of folks, some of the very similar circumstances, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The security out here was, very, very tight. I'm a little angry because, my efforts over the last many years trying to work with the mayor's office on a lot of things in the quarter. But when I heard at the press conference that the balusters were out for repair, I hope I'm not the only one that's angry and upset about that. Super Bowl's more important than Sugar Bowl. I mean, Bourbon Street's crowded every time we have a special event. I'd like to know where they're at, how long they've been out, why couldn't they be repaired in time for this event or any major event? What takes so long? It's just like the the governor having to step in with the NOLA police. We saw great improvements since they've been in the quarter. And then Michael Heck stepping in to get the streets repaired. I mean, how long do we put up with the incompetence of this mayor's office to get anything done? Or, you know, I surely had no idea those things were out for repair. I assume they were in place. And I hope other people are angry. Not that that would have prevented it, but obviously this person probably knew what he had an opportunity to do. But I don't know. That's not a good answer that was given by the mayor's office.
Well, I made the observation earlier in my monologue, Billy, that, you know, the thing is that once you identify a piece of geography, you give it heightened importance, you decide to implement some security measures, it's all about the execution, because you've already gone through the exercise of trying to minimize as much risk in that particular area, which is what they did when they initially installed the bollards. Then it's all about execution. And part of execution is maintenance, right? Preventive maintenance, making sure that you're checking those things consistently, they're operational. I mean, we've known about Taylor Swift for a long time, right? We've known about the New Orleans Bowl. We've known about the Christmas season. We've known about the fact that we were going to be a playoff game in the Sugar Bowl, and we've known about Super Bowl. And it would seem to me that the most appropriate time to do all of this would have been sometime earlier in this year before we headed into the busiest season, which is all about execution and priority. I mean, and no matter what security measure you implement, if you don't execute, and it's not worth the paper it's written on.
You know, Newell, we learned earlier this year they gave out a $4 million contract to fix streetlights that never got fixed. And then so we had to get another contractor to come in. You know, I'd love to know who was doing the work on these balusters. Was it a legit company or was it another political friend? And I hate to sound that angry, but it's just like we can't even get the trash contract right. We give it out to a guy that isn't in the trash business. The council's got to rescue that and give out an emergency contract. I mean, the leadership in this city is horrible. And you know, how long do we put up with this? I mean, we've been fighting it since I've been lieutenant governor to clean up the French Quarter and make it safe. Thank God the governor stepped forward with the French Quarter, state police, and the new cameras. And look, prior to this, I saw great improvements. State police working with the New Orleans police with finally putting cameras up that actually work and can identify criminals. And then the attorney general stepping in and starting to prosecute on a state level to keep them behind bars. So we saw a lot of progress, and I don't think anybody on the state level knew these balusters were out for repairs. I surely didn't, or nobody on my team had any inclination that they were not in place.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. That story will continue to reveal itself. I did say earlier as well, and I know you believe this too, you know, pick a city, pick a state, pick an event anywhere, not only in this country, around the world. There's been examples of terrorist activities that go on. You minimize risk. You can't eliminate it. And, you know, this is just the fallout of the freedoms that we have, quite frankly, in this country.
Absolutely. You know, the late Joe Yeager put together a security plan that he paid for, that we reviewed with him when we were talking about turning the French Quarter over to a management district separate from the city. And it identified things in there, you know, where these balusters are, you know, where there's a balcony, you got a pipe on the sidewalk. Where there's not, there needs to be some type of, whether it's a barricade long way so people can walk around it. But all of those things that over the years have come in discussions, but doesn't seem to ever get implemented. I mean, like I said earlier, you can't even get a garbage can truck right or fix the potholes. The sense of urgency to protect, clean up, and make it safe has not been there. And I just got to applaud the governor because I could see it in his face in that press conference. And I tell the people out here in California, rest assured, they will get it safe. They will get it right, and probably make it one of the safest cities with whatever's got to be done, just like the governor did with the NOLA state police in the French Quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see. And I do believe that the city is safe. The city's safer today, probably more so than any other day, for a whole host of reasons, because of all of the assets that have been brought to bear as a result of this event. And I'm sure that the Sugar Bowl is going to go off without a hitch. And I just hope people turn their TV on and watch, quite frankly, because the best message that we can send that we are going to succeed, we are going to continue to do what we do best, as New Orleans and Company says we're built to host, is to make sure that people are watching the game, right?
Absolutely.
So, Billy, in your as it relates to what the participation in the Rose Bowl, you said Louisiana won an award. What award was that?
We won the Director's Award, which is for overall, you know, performance. You know, our performers as well as our decorations and theme. You know, the theme for the parade was the best night, a best day ever, and we highlighted Saturday night in Louisiana. Fairs and festivals, our food, our music, and of course Tiger Stadium on Saturday night football. So we highlighted all of the great things to do in Louisiana on Saturday night, and so putting the whole concept together behind the theme got us the Director's Award for our participation and our float.
Well, that's great news. Congratulations. I know that there's a big effort put in and hundreds of folks volunteering to do so as well. And we appreciate all that you do for the great state of Louisiana. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Newell.
All righty, folks, that's Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Would love to hear from you. We've got a few moments when we come back. Give us a shout.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back. Welcome back to our continuing coverage relative to this terrorist attack on our city on Bourbon Street yesterday morning at 3:15 a.m. Let's go to the talk lines. We'll go to Bob. Bob, you're up. What say you?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Yeah, from 2000 to 2020, I did military funerals and covered most of them were related to the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. I just wanted to let your listeners know, and you know, that a lot of the funerals, or some of the funerals that I did from DOD out of Delaware, was they were on base, and they were Americans that were shot by coalition forces on base in the back of the head, or while they're at, you know, on base, and friendly forces, God's supposed to be a friendly force, kills them. So this reminds me of that. This terrorist attack reminds me because he had a military background. He was in the U.S. military. But here's the thing. On the opposite spectrum, I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather was a doctor out of New Orleans and an intelligence officer in the military. And he dealt with World War II, Hitler, Mussolini, and stuff like that. So he what he said was, and what he taught me was when I was coming up, was that they had to round up people in the United States, dangerous people, and take them out and put them, lock them up, and get them out of our country. I just want to say, after watching this sort of situation unfold in several U.S. cities over the last 10 years or 15 years, it's the same situation over and over and over. is that what are we prepared to do? What can we do to stop these sort of events from happening in all across America? And they're evil. They have an evil, sinister background and characteristics, and it's not going to stop until we do something. So I wanted to ask you and your listeners, what are you prepared to do, and what do you think should happen in order to stop this sort of onslaught on American citizens and people across this great country?
Well, I think as a country, as a nation, there's a series of concentric circles, right? And you start on the outside circle, and that's going to be what? Your borders, immigration, knowing who's coming to this country, why they're coming to this country, are they on a visa, they're visiting this country for a period of time, and gaining a better understanding of who's here, what, why, when, and how. Obviously, we've had a number of years where that just hasn't happened. This is not a Democrat or a Republican conversation. This is the safety and security of each and every U.S. citizen. And we have to understand and deal with it in that context, not in, you know, can we be all things to all people? We need to be about the context of what's in the best interest of the safety and security of this country. I will never apologize to anyone, for being interested in that and suggesting to our leaders that we become more and more intrusive at our borders. Plain and simple. Because what we've seen around the world is those countries that have taken a lackadaisical attitude about that are suffering internally on a whole host of different issues. So it would seem to me that we would start there first, and then those continuing series of concentric circles as to how we monitor both social media and otherwise for intelligence purposes, for street level intelligence and alike, both at the local level of policing, state level of policing, federal level of policing, and make sure that there is a seamless way that we can share this information that may or may not become actionable intelligence. And we start dealing with that instead of focusing in issuing political statements out of law enforcement, whether at the federal, state, or local level, as to what we're doing. We went through a series of what we were looking at, pro-life individuals, this, that, you know, school situations throughout the pandemic. We got involved in a bunch of sideshows that everyone knew was not going to lead to much of anything, of any meaningful, actionable intelligence. And we all had the sense of it. All of those in law enforcement, I mean, it became a joke. We need to be more focused on what it is that we need to set about to make sure that we are safe in this country. And Bob, those are just my thoughts. Thank you so much for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, prayers and thoughts go out to all the victims and their families and everyone impacted whose lives, you know, have been touched by this horrible situation. I was very encouraged to hear our Lieutenant Governor, you know, holding these officials accountable that have neglected their civic duties in the city of New Orleans. And hopefully, you know, that has been brought to light and we can get in there and make the changes needed to make the city safer. The other thing that I do want to say is if there's any silver lining to this, if there's any good that can come of this, let's keep the perspective that this gives us a perspective that we did not have before, because that was a very soft target. If you're familiar with the area, you know that if there had been a coordinated attack, this could have been way worse. We could have had dozens of people or maybe even hundreds killed and multiple hundreds injured if, you know, two or three bad actors had worked together and actually done something, you know, coordinated. So let's just be thankful that that did not happen, and that hopefully that the resources can be put into place to where, you know, you can never stop people that are hell-bent and willing to give their lives to do such a heinous act, but you can make it a lot more difficult for them. And, you know, thank
no doubt, Jay.
All the law.
And go ahead. I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, thank God for the three NOPD officers that ran to danger with a lot of others as well right behind them, taking rounds on their body, right, putting themselves at risk, but at the same time, eliminating the threat, right? But for those officers, it could have been a lot worse.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the call. Got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll visit with J.P. Morrell, council member at large of the New Orleans City Council. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. J.P., welcome to the show. Yesterday, a tragic event. Your thoughts?
That's a lot, Noel. I mean, it was heartbreaking yesterday what happened. It was a horrific terrorist act meant to inspire fear and trepidation in the citizens of New Orleans. And in the wake of that, the city council, a lot of our partners have done the work over the last 24 hours of done the work of notifying families, reuniting people with loved ones, notifying people when loved ones have departed, setting up the New Orleans New Year's Tragedy Fund, like the Boston Marathon fund that was set up for victims and for those affected, and really just trying to make sure this city is safe and secure while also getting to the bottom of what occurred, which is all a lot in 24 hours.
It absolutely is. It is, though, as you just pointed out, incredibly important that everyone come together in response to this, right? Both the visitors and some of the locals. In fact, we were just notified here that one of our own that works for Odyssey was one of those tragically killed. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them. I just learned of this minutes ago. And it continues to reveal itself.
I mean, that's 100% correct. I mean, basically, and I've had this conversation with a lot of national, international outlets. When you have a terrorist act happen, their number one goal is to disrupt society, disrupt the lives of everyone involved, and make us fearful about living our lives and fearful and doubt the sanctity of our government, whether it be on the state, local, or federal level, and really undermine democracy. And to put it quite candidly, the best way to flip off terrorists is to not let them do that.
No, absolutely. And I said earlier, I would hope everybody would turn on the Sugar Bowl game today. If they're not going, watch it on TV. You know, let it be the highest rated bowl game that they've had thus far. For that very reason, to send the message, we're not going to be swayed.
Absolutely. That is 100% correct, and that is certainly the message that I've been putting out there. And I've told people, if you're planning on coming to the game in person today, it is going to be a safe and secure game. Just be a little patient with all the additional security measures and plan accordingly. If you were planning on coming to the game 30, 45 minutes out, you might want to look at more like an hour and a half, because there will be layers upon layers of security that will be inconvenient, but it will make you more safe as we continue to deal with the wake of this terrorist attack.
There are some things that come from this, though, that are tough, right? That you got to look at yourself in the mirror critically. I made the observation earlier. I heard your interview with Tommy Tucker. I thought you were very honest and transparent about your feelings. I left yesterday's presser feeling less than. It wasn't our best foot forward.
I 100% agree with that. I think that And I'll say that that's not just from the local. I thought that across the board, it was off. And I think that it was, we were not speaking with one voice. Everyone was very discombobulated. And the presser today, the informational session with the governor, I felt that was much better in that it was
1,000% better.
It was a lot less people. I was not there because the reality is, knowing you know this, the city council doesn't need to be there. Who needed to be there was the mayor, the governor, and law enforcement providing information. In that, we didn't need a clown car of elected officials there all trying to posture for the camera. We needed people there providing coherent, precise information. I thought that the FBI representative was much more on the ball today and like saying, this happened, this didn't happen. And when they got a little pushback from the press on, well, you said there was a group and there was only one person, they said, we've been transparent. When, I mean, you know this because you were in law enforcement. It's the double-edged sword of getting information in real time. If you want accurate information that is without error, you have to wait longer. And what they were doing is telling everyone in real time, here are the leads we're following. And I mean, when it came down to the person versus multiple people versus being a person again, I think everyone can agree, if you're looking at IUDs in the street and people are opening the ice chest and looking in them, I think that for law enforcement's first impression to be, well, are they accessories? It's hard to believe someone looked in that ice chest, saw something that suspicious, and didn't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there will be more to that story, certainly, right?
There will be. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, Newell, was really troubling to me after that second presser was, how far have we gone from see something, say something? Because in the wake of these previous terrorist attacks this country has faced, we've grown up with a generation of people saying, listen, if you're at the airport and there's an unoccupied bag, flag someone down. You're in the middle of Bourbon Street with some random ice chest with some technology in it, and you don't stop anyone? I mean, there's that. There's the fact that obviously we're going to have a very lengthy conversation publicly, an investigation regarding the Ballard situation, which is its own loaded problem we have right now. But also today we find out that the terrorist posted on social media hours before the attack that he was driving to New Orleans to do an attack.
I think we're going to find, and I don't want to use the word breakdowns, but I think we're going to find missed opportunities throughout. Right. The Ballard is one. My only thing is that I think the Ballard is emblematic of something bigger. Right. The city at some point in time made a decision that they were going to increase security protocols around a piece of geography, otherwise known as the French Quarter. You minimize risk. You don't eliminate it. You're never going to eliminate all risk, so you minimize it. But what it requires is execution. Once you've made that decision, whatever measures you put in place, you have to execute on them. Bollards are just simply one of those. Whether or not they were good, whether or not they were poorly designed or whatever, that's something that you deal with every 30 days. You don't wait till a big event to come your way before you're dealing with this thing. You want those things operational all the time, right? I mean, it's a little confusing to me when we talk about everything that we're going to do, but it still requires execution. It still requires preventive maintenance. It still requires a level of attention, no matter what you deploy. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, all of that's correct, but it also requires, and I mean, you know, I have two brothers that are in law enforcement, one who's currently a bomb tech who's been out, I guess, for almost 36 hours doing bomb disposal. But it also requires redundancy, Newell. I mean, the reality is that even when you have the bollards, there are a tremendous amount of other available opportunities that if the bollards were not functional, there are redundancies in place that were also not utilized. For example, I'm aware of the fact there are at least two mobile bollard units that were previously utilized that were not out that night. As you know, we've done it during Mardi Gras previously, just because we've dealt with drunk drivers plowing into Endymion, you can pull out trucks. There's a variety of different things that if the bollards were not operational, part of what we're going to look into going forward is, like, it's not just the bollards, it's where was the other infrastructure that could have been out there as redundancy or replacement to replace them throughout the street. So, I mean, I try not to I've had a lot of interviews with a lot of national outlets that kind of want to fixate on one thing versus another thing. And like you said, there's going to be a cascade of breakdowns and missed opportunities. And the bollards are certainly one of them, but they're one of many that we're going to have to look at in retrospect with a very critical eye and really figure out why this happened. And I can only tell you, because I've dealt with law enforcement for so much of my life, just like you, I have to wonder how much institutional knowledge the NOPD lost over the last couple of years. People who were there as recently as when the bollards were first installed in the wake of the French truck attack, who pushed for that redundancy, who just because of attrition have been replaced by people who weren't there for when that happened or had that sense of urgency. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. No, absolutely. I mean, but that's part of execution, right?
Absolutely.
Transfer of knowledge, transfer of information, making sure that the appropriate people are in place that know how the bollards work, or, you know, if there's a problem, you know, if you have a hydraulic bollard or a hydraulically driven piece of equipment, is there a manual backup to it? These are all things that you want to, be able to exercise, practice, and everything else in order to appropriately utilize it. But separate and apart from the bollards, just I think that one of the most important things you said is that no matter what measure you deploy, you got to actually execute on that measure. Because otherwise, 100%. It's not worth the paper it's written on. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, and I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you in the near future as well. We certainly appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. That's J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Eric Kessler, attorney for Pano. He'll share the police perspective on the terror attack on New Orleans, and we'll talk about some of the operational issues as well, National Guard coming in town, and Glade Bilby from the French Quarter Citizens Group.